Hi, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Bava Kamma, Chapter 10, Mishnah 10, and we will also start the first Mishnah of the next Masechta. So this is the last Mishnah of the last chapter of Bava Kamma. Mochin shehakobes motzi hari el shelo. Flock which the washer takes out belongs to him. Vishehasoreg motzi, and that which the comber takes out, Hari El Shel Balabais, belongs to the householder. Hakoves Notel Shlosha Chutim Vehin Shelo. The washer takes three threads, and they belong to him. Yasser Meken, more than this, Hari El Shel Balabais, belongs to the householder. Imhaya Hashachor Al Gabi Halavan, if there were black over white, Notel es hakol vehein shelo, he takes all of them and they're his. Hachayet sheshier minachut kedei litforbo. If a tailor, left over from the thread enough to sew with, or umatlit shehi shalosh al shalosh, Hari Elu Shel Balabayis, or a patch which is 3x3 belongs to the householder. Masha Achoresh Motzi B'Matzad, whatever the comforter takes off with the plane that belongs to him, Hari Elu Shel belongs to him. Ubakashil Shel Balabayis, and if a hatchet, it belongs to the Balabayis, the householder. Vimhaya Osa Etzo Balabayis, and if he works on the householder's premises, Af hanisores shel balabayis. Even the sawdust belongs to the balabayis. So our Mishnah is dealing with all sorts of craftsmen who are left with small items but belong to the householder, and teaches which items belong to the craftsman with no suspicion of theft, and which the craftsmen are obligated to return to the balabayis. So threads which come out of the wool during the washing and bleaching belong to the washer, because the owner of the wool isn't particular about them. The threads which the comber takes out while he's combing the wool belong to the householder, because he takes out a large number and the owner is particular about them. He's doing it for him. Now, if the washer takes three threads which are woven into the garment, the edge of the garment, they belong to him, because it's customary to do that, to weave three threads into different types of a different type into the edge of a garment. And if the washer takes them and straightens them and improves the garment, it's a trifling matter and the household doesn't mind. But if the washer takes more than the three threads, then they all belong to the householder. Now, if there were black threads woven into the edge of a white garment, so the washer takes everything, all the black threads, since they make the garment ugly, and the threads belong to him, so the householder lets them go. Now, if the tailor was given a thread by the householder, a piece which is long enough to sew with, which is at least twice the length of a needle, or a patch which is 3 fingers by 3 fingers, whatever remained over belongs to the which was not needed for the work on the garment belonged to the householder. But if less than these measures remained, you know, twice the thread needle or 3 by 3 fingers, then if the householder is particular, they still belong to him. But the Rambam simply writes less than this is his; it belongs to the work of the tailor. Now, the thin chips that a carpenter planes off when he smooths the planks with the plane belong to the carpenter, because the owner doesn't care. But the chips that the carpenter slices off with a hatchet, they're thick chips, and the householder is particular about them. If he works on the householder's premises, not in his own location, so then even the tiny particles of wood which fall off during the sawing belong to the owner, because everything's within his domain, he is particular about it. And the Rambam writes that Tosfos in the Gemara, that all of these similar cases, they all follow local custom, whatever that local custom is. We have now finished learning Masechtas Bava Kamma, Mishnayos, chapters 1 through 10, Mishnah 10, and thank you for joining me, and may we continue to learn all together in the future in Yerushalayim.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the first Mishnah and the first Perek in the first chapter of Bava Metzia for OU's Mishnah or Mishnayot Yomi program. The Mishnah reads, Shnayim Ochsim B'Talit Zeomer animitzatia, Zeomer animitzatia, Zeyishaba Shainlo, Bah Pachot mi Chetia, Zeyishaba Shainlo, Bah Pachot mi Chetia, Viachaloko. So let's start by looking at the legal basis for this Mishnah, or the case that the Mishnah is dealing with. The legal basis is that in Jewish law, possession is 10/10 of ownership. That is, you may have heard that possession is 9/10 of the law, but in Judaism, in Jewish law, possession is 10/10 of the law. The Hebrew words for that, the phrasing for that, is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, somebody who wants to extract something out of the possession of somebody that somebody else has. Alav haraya, he must bring proof. So if I walk to somebody's house and they have a nice candlestick, if I say that's mine, and since it's in the possession of another person, I must bring some type of proof showing that I am the one who is the true owner. Now, in our Mishnah's case, we have a bit of a problem. Two people made, at least in the first case that we are presented with in our first Mishnah, two people kind of make a dash for a talit, which is apparently just lying around and ownerless, and each claim that they got there first, kind of like a scramble after a fumbled football. A talit, by the way, I should mention, is not merely an ornamental shawl that you would only find in a synagogue when one is praying on either in the morning or just on the Sabbath, but it was actually the main overcloak that people wore on a daily basis. So the problem here is that, and it's important to realize that there's no reason to suspect that either of these people are lying. It's not like person A saw person B had a talit he wanted, so he ran up and claimed that he found it at the same time. I think what's going on is that they both think that they got to the talit first, just like the two people scrummaging for a football think that that they got there first, and therefore possession is equal for both. And since possession is equal for both, and each one is claiming ownership, so each claim is equally valid. Now, actually, the Gemara changes that just a bit. It explains the Mishnah slightly differently. It says it's not that each one has an equal possession; it's that neither has any possession. The Gemara asserts or establishes that the situation in our Mishnah is that both are holding on only to the talit from the fringes, from the corners of the talit, and therefore there is zero possession for both of them. The Gemara asserts that, in fact, based on the possession rule of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Raya, if one had grabbed, say, 3/4 of it, and the other one had grabbed 1/4 of it, then the former would get the 3/4 that they possessed, and the latter would get the 1/4 that they possessed, each according to the amount of their possession. It gets a little more complicated. What if only one was possessing 1/2, and the other one was possessing 1/4? So then you would only have to divide up the middle one, but you get the basic idea. In a case where you had one person with 3/4, another person with 1/4, where they were literally holding on to that amount, so no swearing would be necessary. Just divide up the talid as they had possession of, and that would solve the problem. So what the Gemara says here is that since both are holding on to the fringes, both are claiming ownership, full ownership, but neither one has any possession whatsoever, which would tilt the ownership one way or the other. The Gemara also asserts, interestingly enough, that the second part of the Mishnah, or the extension of the Mishnah, is a brand new case. Zeomar Kula Shali, Zeomar Kula Shali, is not talking about a run after an unknown talit, but it's a second case, which is where one purchased it and the other one says he purchased it as well. And again, there's no reason to, and each one is holding on to the corners in such a way that possession does not exist. Each one claims to have purchased it rather than found it, and therefore we wind up with the same problem. Again, there's no reason to assume dishonesty here. It could be that the seller sold it twice, once appropriately and a second time inappropriately, but the seller who's holding on to double the cash can't remember which one of the parties bought it correctly, but each of the parties really believes that they have full ownership, but neither can claim possession. So in both cases, both the finding of an unknown talit and the purchasing of a talit, the ruling is zei yishava she'en lo ba pachot michetzia v'zei yishava she'en lo ba pachot michetzia v'yachaloku. So each swears that they own no less than 50%, which means I am claiming that I own 50% or more, up to, obviously, because they really believe they have, each one has 100, and the talit is therefore divided up on the 50-50 line. Now, it can't, obviously, if it can't be divided up, if you can't, you know, rip the talit in half, then you sell the talit and the proceeds are split between them. Now, what's interesting is the language of I have no less than 50%. And why not just say I have 100% and I own 100% and split it down the middle? So the Gemara explains that we don't like to have people swear to something that's simply not going to come true. And since we know ahead of time that they're only going to get 50%, they should swear to the 50%, but in such a way that allows it to be honest and allows it to indicate what each one believes, which is when they say, I own no less than 50%, each one really believes 100%, but they only claim the 50% that they're going to get. There's another question that one could ask. Based on the Gemara's understanding that there are really two cases in the Mishnah, one is for a found talit, the other one is for a purchased talit, the question is, why do I need the two different cases? It comes out to the same ruling. It looks like the same situation. This, unfortunately, the Gemara goes to an explanation of why you must learn both possibilities, but that's really more of a Gemara shir than a Mishnah shir, and it's outside the scope of what we would like to do here. The Mishnah now continues that this doesn't only apply, that is the ruling that you take the portion which is under dispute and you swear for the 50% of it does not only apply where the entirety of the object is under dispute. If the disputed part is less than the whole, then only that disputed part is split between the two claimants and they have to swear only to the disputed part. So therefore, in a case as follows, Zeomar kula shali, Zeomar chetzia shali. So the first guy says, the whole thing is mine. I own the whole thing. Again, it's in a case where neither is holding on to anything in a significant way to indicate possession. Each one is holding on to a corner or the fringes. So the first guy says, the whole thing is mine, 100% me. The other guy says, no, 50% is mine. Therefore, only the 50% that the second guy is claiming is in dispute. The first 50% is not in dispute. So therefore, what you do is you take the 50%, you split that down the middle into two 25%, and what you get is as follows. Ha'omer kula sheli, the one who says the whole thing is mine, yishava she'en lo ba pachot mishlosha chalakim. So he lays claim to 75%, that is the undisputed 50% that nobody's bothering him about, plus half of the 50% that is under dispute, meaning 75. Va'omer chetzia sheli, and the one who claims that he owns 50%, well, yishava she'en lo pachot mirviazeh, so he claims just to the one quarter or the 25%. Zenotel shloshah chalakim v'zenotel reviyah. So therefore, the first guy claims three portions, i.e. three-fourths, and the last guy one-quarter, and it works the same way. And you could apply this to any ratio. For instance, the Mishnah obviously doesn't go into all the possibilities, but based on the two languages in the Mishnah, one could deduce any ratio. For instance, let's say the first person claims 60%, the second person claimed 40%. So that would result in a 70-30 swearing and division. So you could do whatever math you want to by simply adding to the unclaimed, to the undisputed portion, half of the disputed portion.